Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So likewise you, when you have done all things that you are instructed to do, say, we are useless servants. We have done what we ought to do. We start out in life doing a lot of things because we have to. We make ourselves do things that we'd rather not out of obedience and self-interest. A major motivator is the approval of others and a sense of merit, wishing to feel that we are good people and respectable members of our community. We also hope we are on track toward heaven. We want to feel that we are productive, useful servants here and in the Lord's kingdom. A great thing is that if we work with the Lord, he leads us into increasing freedom and enjoyment. He leads us out of having to do things we don't want to do just from obedience. He leads us away from basing our lives mainly on people's expectations of us. He sets us free from doing things largely out of a sense of merit and self-interest, and brings us into a state where we do things for his sake and for our neighbors. We can come to the point that we do things just because they are good things to do. We are engrossed in the use, and it is very satisfying to do it. We can be led to the point where we say, and really mean, it was nothing. I'm just an ordinary servant, nothing special. I'm just doing my job, and truly, it was a pleasure. And then we are actually more useful servants to the Lord and our neighbors, as well as a lot happier. But it takes time and a long process of preparation to reach this state. Our journey to heaven has two alternating kinds of states called reformation and regeneration. They are states of preparation and states of fulfillment. In the first kind of state, we are like servants to the truth. Spiritually, we eat bread in the sweat of our faces, as the Lord said of Adam. We labor to bring our lives into conformity with the Lord's laws, while our desire to do what is good remains distant. But in the second kind of state, we act from a new love and a new understanding. We freely direct our lives in the way the Lord teaches, as a master directs his servant. These two states are represented by the phases of life with all things in the universe. A tree prepares itself by producing leaves. Then in the summer and autumn, it bears fruit. Children grow up under obedience to their parents, receiving instruction, going to school, being told to clean up their rooms, and so forth. A second state comes for them when they become independent, with a job, a home, and family of their own, and exercising their own judgment before the Lord. The first states, called states of reformation, feel like a struggle between the internal man and the external man in us, or between our conscience and wisest inclinations versus our lower animal instincts. The meat and drink of the external man consists in the pleasures of possessions, honors and holding offices, the pleasures of friendship and society, the love of one's children, the pleasures of conjugal love on its lower planes, also music, beauty, taste, and touch. The delights of the internal man are the peace in acting according to conscience, contentment with our lot, inward joy, and the satisfaction of seeing a job well done. Both kinds of delights are provided by the Lord. The delights of the external man become harmful, though, if we let them distract us from the higher delights and duties of serving the Lord and the neighbor. The struggle involved in reformation is to make sure that the master is served and the internal man has eaten and drunk to the satisfaction of our conscience before the servant sits down to eat. For example, we all need rest and recreation at times, but in general, our work comes first. Or to take a different case, some people enjoy management and organizational detail, and others do not. For those who do, exercising such responsibility feeds their external man. They need to beware of overfeeding their natural man at the expense of interfering with others' freedom, responsibility, and participation. Otherwise, the lust of dominating and controlling may take over their lives. People who do not enjoy management still have to make sure that the necessary things get done and not neglect them for things that are more fun to their external man. With both, the love of use must be the master of our external man and be served first. In the Lord's parable, he pictures the work of bringing our natural man into harmony with our internal man as plowing and feeding sheep. We plow furrows of good habits in the spiritual fields of our life, where the seeds of truth can take root. This involves breaking up the hard ground of already established habits, patterns of life, and ways of thinking with which we are comfortable, but which are not entirely obedient to the Lord's word. Knowledge of the truth in the memory is like the seed in a bag carried by a sower. We read, "A person who learns truths and does them is like one who sows seed and plows it down into the ground." Sheep represent states of innocence and love toward the neighbor, which the Lord gives us to guard and care for. We feed these loves in one way by reading and hearing the word. We feed our children's states by worship at home. Reading the word and saying the prayer at home feeds children even more than they are fed at church, because their father and mother, whom they love most of all, are choosing to worship the Lord. In turn, the Lord feeds us while we're trying to help our children. We do this plowing and planting, working on correcting our habits and learning from the Lord in servitude, in a spirit of obedience and faith, rather than out of love to the Lord and love toward the neighbor. We have elements of these higher loves left over from our childhood states, but their influence is distant, since our natural man is interested in other things. The spiritual plowing and planting is preparing for love to flow into our natural minds more clearly and powerfully. Still, without the remote inner delight and its promise of rest and peace, we could not labor at all. Meanwhile, the Lord provides mediate goods and rewards along the way. Mediate goods are imperfect motives that are mixed in with our better reasons for doing what's right. The internal, truly good will gains support from these affections that are not so good. Mediate goods, or mixed motives, help us keep working on doing the right things, and in this way, they introduce us into better states. They are called mediate because they help us progress from more selfish to less selfish states. They are called goods because they are partly good motives, and they enable the Lord to lead us to better states. Mediate goods are like political alliances, where sponsors of a bill who truly believe in a cause gather support from others who are not nearly so committed, or maybe who are even opposed in certain respects, but who go along with the bill for the sake of various favors or other considerations. Mediate goods, by which the Lord leads us into true conjugal love, for example, are beauty, enjoying similar lifestyles, wanting to be married and independent, and outward adaptation of one person to the other. These are motives that help us fall in love and remain friends, on a lower level than true conjugal love. They satisfy our natural instincts, but also appeal to our conscience, because we're doing the right things according to the Lord's word. The most common and powerful of all mediate goods in Reformation, the writings say, is a sense of merit in having done what's just and right, in having fulfilled our duty. It's a sense of pride in our accomplishments, a feeling that we are worthwhile, that we have something of value to offer. Children especially need some external rewards, especially recognition of a good job. And even as adults, we cannot help but feel that the good we do is from ourselves, and that therefore we deserve honor and a reward for it. Unless we felt and believed this in the beginning, we would never do anything good at all. When we act from immediate good, we do it in freedom, and we take that good to heart. The Lord leads us into an affection and enjoyment in good, and also into a deepening insight into what good really is. The word is quite clear that works done only for merit and reward are harmful to us. For one thing, it is not true that we are good of ourselves. The sense of our own merit, if it grows too large, can turn us away from the Lord. For another thing, it is selfish. We do what is good for the sake of earning merit and approval. What makes the sense of merit useful in Reformation is that we act from it unconsciously. We are focused on a task that must be done at work or at home, or we are struggling not to do something selfish or to redirect our thoughts, or maybe we are absorbed in thinking about something from the Word. We are mercifully led out of thinking about ourselves at that time, and the eagerness to gain merit contributes its energy unnoticed. Then the Lord can slip in some unselfish thoughts of doing what is right for the sake of others. The problem of merit arises when we return from the fields of our labors to our private thoughts and reflect on what we have accomplished. Will we tie on our apron and serve the internal man and focus on the truth that all good is from the Lord alone? Or will we feed just the external man, congratulating ourselves for our achievements, how good we looked, how many people appreciated us or should have, and contemplate how we can achieve further merits in the eyes of the world? This is the meat and drink of the natural man, unreformed. But actually, success and congratulations can be an oppressive thing. Evil spirits then lead us to focus on ourselves and fill us with conceit if they can. This attitude can lead us to feel that we are worthwhile only as long as we perform up to other people's expectations. We are driven by needing to be stars in other people's eyes rather than being called by the Lord from within to a useful life. Instead, we can gather our thoughts and look up to the Lord. We can remember whose is the power and the glory forever. Then we can be thankful to the Lord for progress made, for good things accomplished, and for the miracle that we can serve in His household as if of ourselves. To be set free from the love of our own merit, we must learn to acknowledge the Lord as our master and ourselves as His servants. The Lord makes great use of our sense of merit to help us establish good habits, but eventually He wants to lead us to a state that is far happier and freer. Charity itself, we read, is an internal affection from which a person wills to do good, and this without a reward. The delight of his life consists in this. As we pursue the ideal of acting honestly and justly in our daily responsibilities, letting the Lord be our master and we His servants, the Lord will bless us with the love of use itself. So likewise you, when you have done all those things that you are instructed to do, say, we are useless servants. We have done what we ought to do. Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.